This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by the Todd Wright Tour. Yes, my golf tour is up to event number 14. Our major championship is in just 3 weeks. I have very limited tee time availability. Go to joebucksfan.com/golf. If you can put a foursome, a threesome, a twosome, or an individual entry into your cart and hit pay, you're in. One of the questions I often get about my golf tournaments is people just reach out to me without going to the link saying, hey, is there room in the golf tournament? Well, it's kind of like anything else. If you see it online and it's available, kind of like going to the grocery store and seeing a box of cereal you want, if it's on the shelf, buy it. If it's online at joebucksfan.com/golf, and if you can put a foursome or a threesome or a twosome or an individual tee time in your cart and buy it, yes, it's available and it's yours. It's a question that doesn't need to be asked. So I'm just telling you, just sold another foursome moments ago before recording this podcast at roughly 9 o'clock in the morning on Friday before I play golf on my own and watch Masters action for much of the day. Would love to have some new people play in the Todd Wright Tour Championship at the private Buckhorn Springs Golf and Country Club coming up in 3 weeks, Saturday, April 28th. For more information, you can email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. By the time I talk to you on the next podcast, we're going to be sold out. That's how close we are to selling out this event. All right, just putting in this Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and when doing these off-season fantasy football podcasts, there isn't as much structure to them as when we are doing the two per week coming off a Sunday or going into a weekend as we do in-season or getting you ready for the draft. So I'm just going to try to hit on significant transactions right now because a number of them are happening, and then we'll be at the draft, and then we can sort of take a look big picture at a lot of things that happened in free agency in the gap between, say, late May and mid-July. I want to talk in this podcast specifically about the move of Brandon Cooks from New England to the Rams. Now, from a New England standpoint, I don't think this affects any of your thinking as it relates to Tom Brady. Tom Brady only had 1 year to work with Brandon Cooks. Cooks, as we talked about on the podcast at the time, mid to late part of the fantasy season, was in roughly 6th, 7th, 8th at the time we identified it in targets. Like a lot of big-time wide receivers, and I'm not putting Brandon Cooks up there as equivalent to some of the stock/standard names that have been drafted in the first round in recent years. Brandon Cooks is not that type of player, or at least he hasn't been, with New Orleans or with New England. But the targets were there. The more Tom Brady worked with Brandon Cooks, the better. That said, New England always seems to be difficult to predict. Maybe outside of Gronk, maybe outside of LeGarrette Blount 2016, on a week-to-week basis, whether or not they're going to receive their share of targets or activity in the offense. And Brandon Cooks actually was one of those guys as well. So he moves to the Rams. This will be Brandon Cooks' third team in 3 years, and none of this on his choosing. He didn't choose to get traded to New England. He didn't choose to get traded to the LA Rams. So it does kind of make me wonder, is there something with Brandon Cooks that Super Bowl winning coaches like Sean Payton and Bill Belichick say, good player, but, you know, we like what we can get for him rather than simply keeping him around? This is something I've discussed recently with a former Major League Baseball player saying at that point, do you wonder if there's something wrong with you? Do you not play well with others? Is there something in your practice habits that may be a little bit off? I expect much the same player that we've seen the last couple of years out of Cooks in New Orleans and New England. It'd be different if he was going to a team that did not have a bright offensive mind like Sean McVay. This is something that we took away from the Rams last year that, you know, under Jeff Fisher, Jeff Fisher basically made Todd Gurley disappear, and he certainly didn't seem like he wanted to play Jared Goff. Fisher is out. McVay is in. Gurley is back, and any of you who had him in the playoffs certainly know he's the reason you won the money or the trophy or both, and Goff was a more than capable starting NFL quarterback. Now, sure, the Rams lost a home game in the opening round to the much more experienced, established playoff veteran squad and coaching staff in the Atlanta Falcons, at least working together. And they struggled a bit offensively in that game. But with all the other moves the Rams have made, bringing in top defensive backs, bringing in another big-time defensive lineman, being in the conversation for Odell Beckham Jr., and now bringing in Brandon Cooks, and looking at it from a Rams standpoint, if you like Brandon Cooks, I think you're going to like him on the Rams. I don't know that it'll be an every week situation where Cooks is productive. You're going to have to pick the weeks. You're going to have to identify the matchups. There will be some games where the Rams just they motorboat their opponents. They take them behind the woodshed. And you wonder in those cases if Goff is going to be throwing the ball as much downfield in the second half, or it will be a steady dose of Todd Gurley or potentially some young backup running back to just let's kill the clock and get the hell out of here. But yeah, I would look at Brandon Cooks right now. This is me personally. As a wide receiver, /3. I'm not looking at Brandon Cooks as a wide receiver one. I want to see how he plays within this offense. I'm not sure the Rams are making moves as it relates. I still think Odell Beckham Jr. is going to end up with the Giants this year, much as I think Dez Bryant is going to end up with the Cowboys this year. But we still have a ways to go. Cooks going to the Rams should be on your fantasy radar. I wouldn't call him a wide receiver one. I would call him more of a wide receiver two. And I say only wide receiver 2/3 because I want to see how this plays out. I want to see what the wide receiver depth chart looks like. And we have a ways to go. But certainly, he is someone that you're looking at in your season-long drafts. Because the Rams were so successful last year, because Cooks has been putting up numbers, there doesn't appear to be anything. We're not looking at Cooks and seeing a lot of drops. We do look at Cooks and we do see touchdowns. I'm just curious why teams are trading him away for value rather than using him to benefit themselves winning football games over the last couple of years. Does this affect Todd Gurley? I think with, you know, Le'Veon Bell's going through, some are saying he's the new Kirk Cousins, that the Steelers could franchise him over and over. Based on the massive volume and just the playoff impact that Todd Gurley had last year, you're obviously thinking already, how can I get Todd Gurley on my season-long fantasy team And, you know, we're not forgetting about David Johnson with the Arizona Cardinals, but, you know, there's been a coaching change in Arizona. It's no longer Bruce Arians running the show. I sense more people are skeptical than sold that Sam Bradford is a good fit in Arizona. So where last year the question was David Johnson or Le'Veon Bell, and I think in most cases people went with David Johnson, this year it'll be more Le'Veon Bell or Todd Gurley, with David Johnson running at best third in that race, and there might be some cases made for other running backs. You know, Ezekiel Elliott won't be dealing with the potential of a six-game suspension. So does Ezekiel Elliott move in there into the third spot instead of a David Johnson? You know, David Johnson is still a first-round guy in terms of your season-long fantasy draft. I don't think he'll drop to a second round, whether you're in an eight-team league, a 10-team league, etc. But I think now we're at Bell Gurley, where, you know, a year ago we were at Johnson Bell getting ready for the draft. So I think Gurley is elevated. I don't think the Rams adding Brandon Cooks, and also I don't think if they added Odell Beckham Jr., that diminishes how we feel about Todd Gurley going forward, unless you get something out of the mouth of Sean McVay saying, we want to manage Todd Gurley, or we want to put him on a pitch count, or we don't want to ask him to do as much this season. Now, I openly say, and a lot of you know, coaches will lie about the workload of players, but here's when they lie. When they're being asked if they want to get somebody the ball more. If the coach brings up on his own about getting the ball to a player less, but as far as getting a player more, it puts them in a tough spot, because if they don't say yes, they could be sending the wrong message that the player isn't worthy of a bigger workload. So in those cases, they lie. I don't see any reason why the Rams would want to lessen the workload of Todd Gurley. And again, if they're getting out to some big leads, I mean, no team last year in the NFL could put up a blowout than the Rams. And the Rams have become one of those teams where you want to get a piece of the action. If you don't get Gurley in the first round of your season-long draft, you may want to get Goff as your quarterback. You're not drafting Goff as early as, say, some draft Tom Brady, although I'm hedging a little bit on Brady's numbers. There seemed to be a drop-off near the end of last year. I'm still convinced Brady was a little hurt. He is 40 going on 41 next year. But you know the quarterbacks I'm talking about. The quarterbacks that people in season-long leagues just say, I know I can get a quarterback later. I know the value is higher on an RB 1 or 2 here, or a wide receiver 1 or 2 here. But you know what? I want Aaron Rodgers. I want Tom Brady. I want Drew Brees, or in previous years, I want Andrew Luck. Someone could do that with Jared Goff. I think it's a mistake, just because Todd Gurley is in the offense, although Gurley is going to catch balls out of the backfield. If not, Jared Goff is one of those quarterbacks that once you're ready to draft a quarterback, you might draft Goff, just because the Rams can put up so many points. And then we'll sort of analyze their wide receiver depth chart whenever it is they're actually done with bringing in all these players, because they have I was even joking once we got to that point. Remember right before Brandon Cooks was traded, we had all this talk about what's Gronk doing? Is Gronk retiring to go into acting and or wrestling? And then once it was like, nah, it looks like Gronk's going to play, but are the Patriots willing to put up with this, and could they make a deal? Because it seems like and you look at all the draft picks now that the Patriots have, the Patriots organization seems to be ready to draft for the future now. They're not giving up on anything this season, but whether it's drafting their next quarterback and making a move up in the first round to get that quarterback who would presumably in, you know, maybe Tom Brady has said something privately to Bob Kraft or to Bill Belichick that, yeah, I want to make this my last year, but only my wife, my agent, you, Mr. Kraft, and you, Bill, know it. And that's where we're going to keep it. So maybe they make that move for a quarterback, or they have all these picks. You know, they have the Rams now, late first round pick. They have the early second that they got from the 49ers in the Jimmy Garoppolo deal. They're just going to be drafting the best possible players they can to help bridge a perceived gap that sometimes exists when you go from being a Super Bowl contender to not being that Super Bowl contender. Kind of like what the Seattle Seahawks may be trying to do here on the fly. They have purged their roster of a number of name, yet players, defensive players, and Jimmy Graham that impact the salary cap and are trying to hit the reset button a little bit from a cap standpoint and not have too much of a dip from how they've consistently made the playoffs, made two Super Bowls, won one in the last handful of years. The Patriots may be at that point, and they have all these draft picks to now try to get themselves 2, 3, 4, maybe 5. You know, the Saints did great in the draft last year in that category, starting players that they can count on for 4, 5, 6 years or more to come. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is, of course, brought to you by the Todd Wright Tour Championship, April 28th at Buckhorn Springs Golf and Country Club in Valrico. This is the 14th golf tournament I have hosted. I am such the golf host that I don't play in my own events. I actually had a gentleman on Facebook worry that I'm too good in these events and they would not have a chance to compete and wouldn't have as much fun. I don't play in my own events. I have too much to do. When I play in events, they are events I don't run. Todd Wright Tour events are mine. I love playing golf, but when I host an event, my goal is every one of you that play in my event have a great time. And honestly, I think anyone who runs a golf tournament, if you're playing in your own golf tournament, some things are going to fall through the cracks. It's just my opinion from experience. They don't at my events. Play in the Todd Wright Tour Championship April 28th at Buckhorn Springs. Go to joebucksfan.com/golf. And if you can put a foursome, a threesome, a twosome, or an individual round in your cart and buy it, it is yours. You do not need to ask if there are tee times available, but I'm just telling you, there are not many. And by the time we talk on this next podcast, I may not have a foursome left to sell. You can email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com for more information. Thanks for tuning into this edition of the podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.